little bit about yourself. Tell us, like, start from the beginning. Like, you know, your story. How did you have, like, a refugee story, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, really appreciate the time and giving me the opportunity to do this. But anyways, my story started out, I was born and raised in Vietnam for a little bit, up to nine years, and until my family actually escaped Vietnam on a fishing boat. Just go back to, if people know about Vietnam, it's basically a communist country. You can't just pack up your stuff and just leave. So there's no government help or assistance. We grew up pretty poor. We are pretty much on our own.
Right.
So my parents thinks that, you know, there's no future for us here. So in order to have a better future in education and job opportunity and things like that, we need to leave Vietnam. So
right.
I believe, I want to say late 1987, my family and a few other families in the same village packed up and escaped on a fishing boat. So if you know the fishing boat, it's not very big. So there were 20 of us, and it took...
Explain what the fishing boat looks like.
It's a fishing boat. It's a single engine built out of wood. That's pretty much it. And to keep it afloat, I believe my dad put some kind of floating device on the side to keep it afloat. That's pretty much it.
Wow.
So imagine a tiny boat in a giant ocean. It is really, really tiny.
Yeah.
So there's 20 of us, and it took us 30 days from our journey all the way to South China Sea. Along the way, the ocean was rough, and we ran short of supplies. There's short supplies of water, fuel, and food, and we're really worried. It was just a faith of God. I remember my mom and dad, we just pray. That's all we can do. We just pray. And from the grace of God, we did survive. And along the way, we ran into what we didn't know, but we have heard stories in the past where there were like pirates and stuff like that. And so every time we see like a boat in the distance, we're like, shut off everything, shut off the engine, shut off our light. So they don't detect us exactly. Then we finally, after a month, we finally reached land in China.
Yeah.
Along the way, we were really, really grateful that those people actually, the locals took us in, fed us, gave us food and supply so we can continue along a journey. And there was a couple of funny stories I want to share. When I was there, I never knew like gum ever existed, right? So this local gave me a piece of gum.
So I
ate it for, I don't know for how long. I was like, what's going on? Why this candy doesn't dissolve? So I was like, oh, forget it, just swallowed it. So that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. So those are kind of like discovering different things that
absolutely.
You've never seen before.
Oh, absolutely. And then also at the same time, I was exposed to like other, I guess you can call it outside, because where we live, I grew up in the village where it's just us. I don't know if there's a black, white, Hispanic, or anybody else. No, we never owned electricity or a pair of shoes or motorcycle, anything like that. Nothing.
Wow.
So, after 30 days, we reach China, and when we reach China, the British Coast Guard picked us up, helped us at the time.
Right.
Hong Kong belonged to the British government, but it got turned over years later.
Right. Yeah.
So when I first got on board the ship, I remember one of the sailors actually gave me a bag of Lay's potato chips. I ate it. I thought that was the best food in the world. I have never had it in my life.
Gosh,
ever.
Neat. That's really neat.
Yeah. And then they took us to a refugee camp called Chima Wan. It's in Hong Kong. It's a refugee camp where all the new refugee would come. It's like a processing center in a way. So kind of holding, waiting for your paperwork to ship to the next location. So we were there, I believe, like 6 months. it doesn't feel like a prison, but in a way you can't like leave the refugee camp because there's barbed wires and things and guard and check you, check upon you all the time.
And you were like how old at that
point? I want to say like 9 at the time.
So you could realize everything. Was it scary to be there?
You know, it was at first because you're in the foreign country, you're in the foreign place and things like that, and you're not used to all these things. I mean, I've never seen a TV in my life, and I actually stay up all night watching TV. I was just pretty amazed.
Wow.
You know, discovering all these new things, those new food, new people, and things like that. So,
That's very, very interesting. Very interesting. So, what is life like in the camp?
In the camp, well, as time goes on, it got a little bit better. I was able to actually attend school, learn a little bit of English here and there to get by in a way.
Oh
they
gosh.
Fed us. They give us things that we basically survive, but the housing was pretty much horrible. You live in barrack, and depending on your size, your families, and you get like the number of beds. So I think 3 of my brothers and I share like one bed and no privacy whatsoever. So there's family live literally right next to you. The only thing that's divide will give you a little privacy. It's just a little curtain. That's pretty much it right there.
Oh gosh.
I remember one of my brothers who's actually, he had a little accident at school where the metal door jammed his finger and it almost fell off. And to this day, we almost like still make fun of him. But so, yeah, it was pretty fun.
You guys, I have to, I'm really impressed at how Anthony laughs about the whole situation. He takes joy and he makes light of it, and you know, he's just a great person to be around. But look at the way you could see how that comes across to you guys as well. But Anthony, tell us like, you know, your journey. You had first your journey on coming on the boat, which is really interesting. You know, all of the emotions that took place there. You know, the pirates and turning off the lights and things like that. Then you came on into the camp, right? It must have been like you guys must have been trying to go back to how you lived, you know, in Vietnam, and what kind of foods, how did you cook it, and all that type of thing. Did you like have a stove, or like what? How did you do that?
Yeah, it's definitely a difference. I remember they give us food to eat. Actually, they provide us food to eat, actually. So we come, we just line up, just like in a cafeteria, for example.
Oh,
you get a tray. They just pick out what you like. I remember, because I love pork, one of the food was like a sliced pork with a piece of fat on it. I saved that for last, I remember, because it tasted so good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. Wow. So, Anthony, so here you are. You're now, you know, in Hong Kong at first,
yes,
right? And then you journeyed on into America later? Or where did you go after that?
I believe about 6 months in Chimawan, we were shipped to the Philippines. There's another refugee camp in the Philippines called Bataan. It's low, you get a little bit more freedom and more privacy. Again, the government gave us housings and food and allowance and things like that. And from there, I actually learned more English, and I became a teacher's aide, like translator so I learned quite a bit there. A lot of the culture, the Filipinos, their folks are really, really welcoming. So we owe them a lot. I remember Manila, that's where we live actually, and it was super hot. Yeah, it was hot. I mean, I would love to go back to see that refugee camp again. So it's definitely, there's a lot of memories.
Right. So you guys, here's what I'm seeing, okay? You see this great guy, he's had a journey, but you see him playful, laughing, but then you see the journey into Manila, and then you discover him and his demeanor becomes grateful, You had a grateful look on your face. You said you thank the Manila, the people from the Philippines. You were genuinely grateful. You could see that on your face. You know, that kind of stuff, we really appreciate that, you guys. But Anthony, then what happened after that? You came to America after that?
Yes. Yeah, so after about, I believe, less than a year in Manila, and we finally got a paperwork and flew to California, settled in Stockton, California, because that's where all of our relatives that escaped Vietnam before us settled. So it was kind of area that we want to be in and feel comfortable because we know the people around there. So it was hard at first. We settled in 1988, August of 1988, and you know, my English wasn't so well. So my brother and I, we were teased, picked on, and it was a pretty much culture shock. You know, new people that we never had seen before, things like that. The school systems. I mean, everything was just new. So I remember my mom. That's where I get my work ethics from. Is my parents. My parents are like, you know, they barely spoke any kind of English and things like that. And jobs, you know, of course, they can't get really good jobs. So I remember every summer my mom would wake up like 2 a.m. She'll go with a few people to pick a cucumber from, I want to say, like 4 a.m. to like 6 p.m. It was backbreaking work. So one day I was like, Mom, I want to go because I want a bicycle. She's like, well, let's go to work with me. I went one day. I was like, no, this is not for me. I am so sorry. But yeah, so that's where it's kind of motivated me to work harder, get better, trying to give back to them and things like that. So I really appreciate them for what they do for me and my brothers. And
that's amazing. Wow. Look at that, you guys. That is so amazing. You know, people that come from other countries, we see their journeys, and you know, we see the amount of work that's put into all of this, and the grateful heart that is involved in that. And show them your hat. Show them what you're wearing in your hat. Look at this guy.
Well, I am a U.S. veteran. I joined the military out of high school. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, being an 18-year-old out of high school. I wasn't the best at school, but I always get by with hard work and things like that. So I decided to join the Navy and actually stationed here in San Diego for 4 years. And I just fell in love with San Diego. And after I got out, after serving 4 years, the best thing that happened to me in the military was that, you know, I met my wife here before I got out. Then after I got out, and we actually both of us got accepted into Sacramento State University up north, and we moved actually up north for, then we graduated, and I worked for called Pacific Gas and Electric Company. I know some of the guys are watching from Pacific, PG&E. Hey guys, miss you guys. Yeah, it's a great company, great people to work with. But I've told my wife that, you know, one day I want to come back down here to San Diego. You got to be where you want to be, happy in life, enjoy what you're doing each and every day, put in the full maximum effort no matter what. I mean, money is not everything, but again, you got to be happy where you're at. And I really miss my coworker, my last job and things like that, but I'm really, really happy that I am here. I get to meet there's a lot of people that I've met, and they're pretty awesome, loyal customers, and I really love San Diego.
So you guys, one of the things that Anthony intentionally put in his bio was he's happily married, okay? You have two children?
Yes, I have two boys. I have two boys, 5 and 9, and they are my world. They're paying the butt sometime, but I put in 12, 14 hours a day. When I come home, I ask my wife to keep them up when I get home so I can see them before bedtime, even 9, 10 o'clock. So it makes me feel good. I mean, I put a lot hard work, and you know, sometimes you feel stressed and things like that, but when I come home, I see them, it's just a stress reliever. So.
Such a great guy. Anthony, you are really genuinely a great guy. You see this
appreciate
in your
it.
Eyes.
You.
You know, it just comes out, you know, as you're talking, everything that you said, your journey, you know, being grateful. And you're an American veteran. Wow. That's amazing. Now you're a business owner. You know, going into business, things like that, what kind of advice would you give to somebody? You know, I know this is probably a way of life for you. It's like, you know, it's your... It's not just going to work and going home. It's every day.
Yeah. It's a definitely hard and long process. You really have to plan it out. Mm-hmm. You have to really, really think hard about it. For me, I wouldn't say that I try. I do the best I did the best I can as far as the process and things like that. And we took a huge chance. I mean, I had a nice job. My wife had a job up north. We own a house and things like that. Life was good.
Right.
But again, you know, what I say earlier, you got to be happy mm-hmm. where you want to be. So as far as being a business owner, it's hard work. There's never a day off. But family is very important to me. My wife, she's very supportive. My kids are very supportive of what I'm doing now. And as far as advice, I mean, go for it. If you think, don't listen to the naysayer, the people that you know, even your friends, and give you bad advice and things like that. Believe in yourself, believe in your heart, follow your dream, just do what you think it's best for you and your family, and things gonna work out in the long run. But there's no easy way. There's no easy. If it's easy, everybody would probably be doing it right now, you know. So, and also, just stay positive, stay focused, surround yourself with positive people, and always be not just a teacher, just be a student of what you're doing. Always learn. I do have brothers that own a restaurant in Chicago. I always text them, you know, every day, and just to get advice. Even I'm stuck on something and just trying to get their perspectives. And I even talked to some of my customer here that's been doing, say, restaurant business, things like that. I'm always learning. So.
Yeah, wow, yeah. You know, that's something that just about every business owner will say to you. You just have to take a chance. Just go for it. Just do it and get yourself around positive people. Anthony, tell us who would be your positive people to be around, and then teach us how to eat poke. How do you order it?
Well, as far as the people to be around, I would say that just know who you want to be around with. I wouldn't be around the people that, even your family member, you know, they tell, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, because you know what, it's not they're talking about themselves.
Right.
Yeah, that's basically, they don't want to admit it. They're afraid to take chances,
right.
But in life, you have to take chances. For us, where I'm at today, I'm very, very grateful and very thankful. See, my parents, they took a chance. We could have died in the middle of the ocean. We would never be here. So if they never take a chance, we might be stuck in Vietnam doing, you know, fishing or whatever, and scrapping for food. And now I'm living an American dream right now. So, I mean, I'm grateful every day, and wake up, every day I'm alive and see my family and friends and things like that. Just stay positive each and every day.
Awesome. So tell us how to eat poke.
Gosh. Well, there's many ways of eating poke. There's pretty much no wrong way of eating poke. It pretty much depends on your taste and your preference.
So it comes in a bowl, like
right, a- yeah. The best way for me to describe eating poke for those that are not familiar with poke is pretty much sushi, deconstruct it in a bowl, make it your way. Instead of going to sushi joint and the chef make it based on the menu and things like that, you come in here, you pick the bowls you want, the either rice, a salad, the type of fish you want, then all the toppings, fresh toppings, and the sauces, that's it, top it off. And yeah, it's fresh and tasty, low calorie, healthy and delicious. Yeah, you don't need to go to like Burger Kings and things like that anymore. So I know it's healthy eating, it's healthy food. So yes. it's very important to stay healthy. So
I agree. All right, that is awesome. I know when I was here, I had the La Jolla bowl because that's what he recommended.
Yeah.
It was awesome, I have to say. Before we close, Anthony, tell us, what's your favorite one?
Ooh, I know a lot of people probably don't agree with it because I really like the octopus, kind of the texture and the taste and things like that. I know, but our best seller here is probably like the ahi tuna, the salmon, and let's say there's a seaweed cucumbers mixed in with a little bit of green onions. Keep it simple, and I would say the sauce or the sauces, the best is sriracha aioli. Combine that with the garlic sesame soy. Man, I get so many compliments with that combination. I kid you not. So
awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, you guys, that is Anthony Nguyen from Pacific Poke. And isn't he an amazing guy? I encourage you guys. He's going to pop on after we get off here and we close down. He's going to jump on the live feed there. So if you have any questions or you want to know where he's at, feel free to answer, ask a question.
Also, I just want to add something also because of my background, of where I came from and actually from my previous job at PG&E. We believe in giving back to community, and we're in the process of trying maybe sponsor a family, during Christmas time to see if we can help out by the kids' present and things like that if they're a lot less fortunate, because that's what I've asked all my employees when to do, to chip in, do what we can. We wouldn't be here without the great people in the community that supported us. Actually, today is our 7-month anniversary since we opened, so times fly when you're having fun. So,
yeah. So you're gonna do something. So, you know what? Let us know.
Yeah,
we, absolutely. You know, make that known to all of us, because everyone on my Facebook feed and things like that, we're all into helping out. So that would love to help out someone that you're trying to help out as well. Let's network with that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, anything else you want to add?
We are located at 9168 Mira Mesa Boulevard in the heart of Mira Mesa. So please come on out and support us. And also, if you guys have, I'm pretty sure a lot of parents have students at school and things like that. We do work with local schools and give back. If you guys come in here and eat, and we'll give back percentage to the school. It's a win-win situations. You guys get healthy food, the kids get the money for the school and the field trip and things like that. So it's a win-win.
And there you go, you guys. That is awesome. Pacific Poke. With that, we're going to peace out. Love you guys.
Later.
Bye.